one day.
Good morning, and welcome to the Because He Lives program. My name is Dario Richards, and together me and my wife Linda Richards will be the host of the program over the month of March. As you know, we are moving toward the time where we celebrate the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. So for this month, we want to explore the question, who is this man? But before we get into our program, we want to express thanks to our sponsors, Federal Motor Spears and the Church of the Nazarene, Barbados District. We are a program of the Church of the Nazarene in Barbados, and we want to say thank you for their continuous support and commitment to sharing the good news to the people of Barbados. So, Lynn, the question in front of us this morning is, who is this man? And we want to begin to explore answering this question from the book of Mark. So, if you will, read for us from the book of Mark, chapter 4, verses 35 to 41.
Good morning, Barbados, and it's good to be here with you this morning. Let's get right into the scripture for today, Mark 4, reading from verse 35. I'm reading from the New International Version. That day, when evening came, he said to his disciples, "Let us go over to the other side." Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat. There were also other boats with him. A furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drowned?" He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." Then the wind died down, and it was completely calm. He said to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" They were terrified and asked each other, "Who is this? Even the winds and waves obey him."
Now, Lynn, this is a very popular portion of scripture.
It is.
I have heard many sermons preached from this passage. I myself have preached from this passage on numerous occasions. Mm-hmm. And to be honest, oftentimes when we get here, the emphasis is on the wave, is on the storm. You know, most often and not, the themes of the messages around this passage are focused on the fact that God can deliver us from the waves and the storms and the troubles of life. But from your perspective, as you think not just about the chapter of Mark 4, but the book of Mark in all, what do you think is really the emphasis here? What do you think Mark is really trying to get at as we start this journey?
Well, I don't know how many of you are superhero fans listening, but for me, when I look at the way Mark wrote this gospel and the way Mark organized the information, it reminds me that he's pointing to somebody who is great, and for the simplicity of the word, that he's highlighting a superhero. You know, if you look at any of those movies, I don't know how many of our listeners are into that stuff, but you look at those different movies, you see the power displayed by the heroes. I think that was Mark's intention. He is writing to an audience that doesn't care so much about his ancestry. You know, they don't care whether he was from the line of David. He's writing to a Gentile audience, particularly Roman persons who care about power and authority. So he starts off his gospel by saying clearly, unequivocally, "I am writing about the Son of God." And so he builds up his gospel, and it comes to this point in Mark chapter 4, where he creates kind of this climactic statement, where he shows the interaction that the disciples had with Jesus on the boat. And they are the ones who ask the question, a question that I believe many of us are still asking today and still grappling with, who is this? And so it's really important that we examine it. It's not just about the storm. It's not about what they experienced and their fear. It was about who was it with them in that experience. And how was this person able to address the problem in this miraculous, extraordinary way? And so I think that is the question that we want to answer. We want to dig deep into the identity of this person.
I love that. You know, sometimes it's so easy whether as we read the Bible, as we go through life experience, sometimes when we think about Christianity, when we think about our faith, it's so easy sometimes to get distracted by all the things around us. Whether it be the good side or the bad side of our experience, it could be the hardship, the troubles, or the storms as shared in the scripture, or it could be the blessings and the opportunities and, you know, the doors that are opening. But I love how you have established how Mark began his gospel, and what we are trying to achieve over these next couple of weeks is to really put back the emphasis on the fact that Christianity is about Jesus. Mm-hmm. That our experience, our commitments, our faith, the central figure in our faith as Christians and should be in our lives, whatever our experiences are, whether on the negative or the positive side, must be built and centered around Jesus. And I think one of the areas that in some ways we as a corporate church might have drifted a bit is losing the significance of the centrality of Christ to our faith, to our experience, and to our livelihood. And I love that as we look at the book of Mark, that the disciples ask this question. Because Jesus isn't a distant stranger to them. You know, me and you, you know, we have received Jesus in our heart, but we never walked with Jesus. We never sat at the table and shared bread physically with Jesus. We never got on a boat with Jesus. But they were walking with him, living with him, serving with him. And they had this question on their heart. I mean, they are with him and still they're pondering in their hearts, who is this man? And for me, it points to the fact that he is of such. He is so grand. He is so big. He is so amazing. He is so multidimensional that even for us, I think that question must ring true as well. And we must not just ask the question, but we must have an accurate answer to it. Because how we answer the question, who is this man? How we talk about and define Jesus, I believe that is what then shapes and influences how we respond to God, how we view and see worship, how we serve, and how we operate as Christians in this modern society. So what are your thoughts, dear Lynn?
Just to bring further scaffolding to what you're talking about, the disciples walking with Jesus, being around him, I think that part of it is so crucial to our understanding of how we zero in and focus. It's like we have a camera and we want to ensure that it's focused on the person that we're dealing with. And so for me, it points back to one of the things Jesus said, do you still have no faith? Mm. And the inclusion of that word still there suggests something to me, because like you said, the disciples had relationship with Jesus before this storm. If you go through scripture and you organize it, not according to how Mark organized his gospel thematically, but you line up all the events that the disciples had with Jesus since they met him, you would see that the disciples witnessed Jesus perform numerous miracles, including healing the sick, casting out demons, even raising the dead. Now they're in a boat with him and there's a storm. Their automatic response is fear. And it leads me to believe they were not zooming in on the person in the boat. Mm. And I feel many times there are many of us who have been around Christianity, who have been calling ourselves Christians for years, genuinely in relationship with God, loving the fact that we serve God and we have access to him. But we're not really zooming into him, because there are going to be moments in our lives when we hit hurdles and Jesus is saying to us, do you still have no faith? Because our focus is not on the identity of God, but as you said, the distractions around us. And so the first things that we have to do for me as we try to answer that question is zoom down and focus on who Jesus is. Mm-hmm. We need to pay attention to the person with us. Who is this person? Remind ourselves of the experiences we have had with him in the past. Mm-hmm. Remind ourselves of the power we have seen evident in our lives, the things that he has done. Remind ourselves of the scriptures that we have read. You know, what the Bible says, Mark began his gospel by saying, "This is the Son of God," that we remind ourselves of those truths. This is the Son of God. And then Mark just didn't say that, but he showed that God himself came down and said, "This is my Son, who I love, with whom I am well pleased." And so for me, it's reminding ourselves of the truths that we know about God, reminding ourselves of the experiences that we have had with God, so that when we are faced with these challenges, even as we're in this season where we go towards remembering his death and resurrection, we remind ourselves of all that he is, mm-hmm. and zoom into his character and to his, you know, identity. I hope that answers it.
Yeah, no, I think you're absolutely correct. And obviously, thus far, we are not doing a exegetical study or approach on the passage, because what we really want to do this morning is just begin to introduce this idea, to have a discussion just around this question that was posed by the disciples. And we will spend the rest of the month seeking to answer that question. By the end of this month, our goal is to have a clear answer, a biblical answer on who is this man. And again, I want to re-emphasize that the reason why I think this is so important and critical is that Jesus and not us, Jesus and not our storms, Jesus and not our blessings, Jesus and not our families is the central figure of our faith. Jesus is the chief cornerstone. He is the foundation. He is the very author and finisher of our faith. And if we do not have an accurate answer to this question, then we begin our building on shaky ground. If we do not accurately answer and understand who Jesus is, mm-hmm. where he came from, what he achieved, what was his purpose on the earth, and what his purpose continues to be as he has resurrected, then we are at risk of building a Christian faith, of building a life that is built on shaky ground. The foundations of our faith, the very sense of security and hope that we need to be able to live and lead godly lives as described by God, is entirely centered around who we understand Jesus to be, who we believe him to be, and how do we respond to him as the central figure, as the central person in our faith, Lynn.
And so I think it comes back to a place where we have to confess, like Peter did, you are the Christ. Mm-hmm. And so, Dario, how do we get to that place where we are grappling with this question, who is this man? Because for me, the disciples were asking this question after a series of experiences where they could have seen demonstrated before them the power of God. But yet they had this question. But then sometime after, Peter is able to have this confession and declare, "You are the Christ." And Jesus says, "This didn't come to you naturally." God was the one who had to reveal this to you. So how do we come to a place where we are able to confess?
I think you asked the question and you answered the question as well. And I think it's important that you bring it up just to emphasize the fact that even as we explore the biblical perspective on who Jesus is, it's a reminder that this is very much a spiritual reality, mm-hmm. right? And we will never be able to have a total picture of who Jesus is without the guidance and the power of the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. When Peter responded very accurately to the question that Jesus asks, "Who do you say that I am?" You know, he shifts the journey from the disciples asking, "Who is this man?" to Jesus now asking them, "Who do you think I am?" And Peter giving an accurate response that Jesus off the bat was able to say, "Peter, flesh and blood did not reveal that to you. This is not the result of your intellectual capacity. This is not the result of any man-made argument. God himself is the one who must have given you the revelation as it relates to who I am." And as we journey, even though we're going to definitely explore the scriptures, we're going to definitely be exploring other content and supporting content for our foundational beliefs as believers, We also want to encourage you to journey with us over this month prayerfully, because it's a spiritual journey. We don't just want an intellectual answer to who Jesus is. We also want a spiritual revelation that God would truly shine light on our hearts and bring even further clarity, further insight, that he would truly give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation that we may know Jesus better. That at the end of this month, as we celebrate the death and resurrection of Jesus, as we stand and we worship on that Sunday morning where we celebrate the resurrection, that it wouldn't just be a traditional celebration, it wouldn't just be something that we do because we have done it all the time, but we are truly celebrating a deeper understanding. We are truly celebrating deeper revelation and insight of who Jesus is. And it hasn't just impacted our intellect, but it has impacted our hearts in such a way that our lives look different because we now have a fresh revelation. Our ability to manage the issues of the day, the storms of life, the threats that are in front of us, whether it be demons, death, disease, or nature, that we are able to stand firmly and with hope, not because we know who Jesus is. The book of Hebrews puts it that for us, it wouldn't just be a nice verse to remember, but truly, we know that we have a hope that is an anchor for the soul, firm and secure, because we know who Jesus is. Amen. We know who he is.
And so I would really encourage us to prayerfully, as you said, Dario, just spend this month reflecting on that question, meditating on that question, who is this man? Exploring the scriptures. And as I thought about that, there are two persons that I just want to pull out a bit of what they said in scripture. Habakkuk chapter 3, when he said and he prayed and he said to God, Habakkuk chapter 3 verse 2, O Lord, I have heard thy speech and was afraid. O Lord, revive thy work in the midst of the years. And so that is something I want to encourage us to do, where we go before God and we ask God to really just remind us of the things that he would have done, to remind us of, you know, the experiences and the lessons we would have seen in scripture, to prayerfully, as we ask God this question, God, who are you? Who are you in my circumstances? Who are you in my life? Who are you today in this culture as we deal with all the things around us? To remind us of that, and then to end with something that Job said, that after he had listened to God go on about all the things God would have done, Job comes to a place where he humbly before God says to God, you said, listen, and I will speak. I will question you. And you shall answer me. And then Job says to God, my ears have heard of you, but now my eyes have seen you.
Amen.
This is where I want this question to lead us, to a point where we are able to say, God, I have read so many things, but now, God, I am definitely experiencing you as the Son of God.
Amen. I am excited to be on this journey with you. I hope you are excited to journey with us as we seek to answer the question, who is this man? Who is this Christ? And as we leave you until next week, I want to read Paul's prayer to the church of the Ephesians. And I want to read this as a prayer over us as well as we wrap up this morning session. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14. For this reason I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of the glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you being rooted and established in love may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. To him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever.
Amen.
Amen. God bless you, and we will chat next week. Bye.
Bye. Because